Good day and welcome to True Wisdom, a show, a podcast, a discussion based on the Bible, which is God's Word. And Andrew and I try to break down different Bible stories, different texts in the Bible that point to the everlasting gospel and point to our theme of true wisdom. Welcome, Andrew.
Welcome, Robert.
You know, what's interesting is I don't have a question in mind for you just yet. I just realized that as we were doing our opening, I don't have a question. But the good thing about the Bible is it's so full of stories and text and different anecdotes, history, that it's not hard to think of a question, and I've already got one. What would you say is the purpose of the Psalms? They're just poetry.
Oh, the Psalms?
Yeah, it's poetry. It's actual music. We don't get the notes, but we get the words of the songs, and we get them translated from the original language. So you might think, hey, I lose something in translation here. But what's the purpose of the Psalms in the Bible?
There are a number of purposes. Let's see here. Deuteronomy 31. Let me see if this is the one that I want. In Deuteronomy 31, the Lord is going to say something. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So listen to this. Deuteronomy 31. Starting at verse 15, I'm going to read a few verses. And the Lord appeared in the tabernacle in a pillar of a cloud. And the pillar of the cloud stood over the door of the tabernacle. And the Lord said to Moses, behold, thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, and this people will rise up and go a-whoring after the gods of the strangers of the land whither they go to be among them, and will forsake me and break my covenant which I have made with them. Then my anger shall be kindled against them in that day, and I will forsake them, and I will hide my face from them, and they shall be devoured, and many evils and troubles shall befall them, so that they say in that day, are not these evils come upon us because our God is not among us? And I will surely hide my face in that day for all the evils which they have wrought, in that they have turned unto other gods. Verse 19. Now, therefore, write ye this song for you, and teach it the children of Israel. Put it in their mouth, that this song may be a witness for me against the children of Israel. For when I have brought them into the land which I swear unto their fathers that floweth with milk and honey, and they have eaten and filled themselves and waxed fat, then will they turn to other gods and serve them and provoke me and break my covenant. And then he goes on to say that after that happens, they will remember, right? So the reason, a part of the reason why the Israelites always remembered these exploits of their fathers is because it's recorded in the Psalms. We always focus on it being recorded in Numbers and in Leviticus, well, not so much Leviticus, in Numbers and Exodus. But it was recorded in the Psalms as well, especially when you go the Psalm in the 90s into the early hundreds. They go through what God did for the children of Israel in getting them out of Egypt and that whole thing. That's partly why they remembered it so well, because it is easier to remember songs than just abstract words.
Mm. Excellent.
So the Psalms were given as in a song format for ease of memory, and because If you look at the Bible holistically, God uses different kind of methods for teaching that appeal to different kinds of people. Some people can just take dry prose. Some people need stories. You have the parables. You have the blocks of instruction. You have right? So there are all of these different methods to impress something upon us multiple ways. One, and two, to impress it upon different people using methods that are better for them.
So it's a way to reach all people.
Absolutely.
All right. Excellent. So I'll go ahead and pray, and then we can start. See, even without a question. Dear Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to serve you by sharing, by discussion, and by learning, and we pray that someone will be blessed as they listen, as we are blessed, as we discuss. Amen.
Amen.
All right, then. What do we have to study today?
It would make sense for us to head into the song.
Yeah. Let's go ahead and I believe we're doing Psalm 119. What are we up to?
Let's do Psalm 119.
I think we did A, B, C, and D.
Mm-hmm.
And so we
want to keep it going in order?
Oh, yeah. Hey, you decide. Let's see.
We did Gimel and Dallas.
Right. I have to move to a different version because Bible Gateway in the New King James doesn't tell you where it starts. So that's right. 33-40 is he.
Right.
Heh. And 41-48 is W-A-W. All right.
Oh, it shows as W there? Shows yes. As V.
As V. Oh, interesting.
Yeah, but it's probably pronounced as a W.
Va. All right.
Mm-hmm. Va.
So 33-48 is what we'll be reading from Psalm 119.
Mm-hmm.
So let me get back to the King James, 33-48. Establish thy word unto thy servant, who is devoted to thy fear.
33.
Ah, I said 33-48, and I started at 38. All right. 33 is, teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I will keep it unto the end.
Now, that's interesting. That one is a trick one right away. What is he asking to be taught?
The way of the statutes.
Yep. And you know, and so what catches me is the first time I read that, I see, teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it until the end. I'm like, it? Statutes should be plural. Then I look carefully, it's like, oh, the way of thy statutes. Yeah, teach me the underlying way. And I will keep the way and, by definition, the statute.
I mean, Jesus himself said that the law can be broken down into two parts. Love the Lord your God and love your neighbor as yourself. Mm-hmm. So that would be the way. The individual commandments, once you break it down into those ways, you don't lie because it hurts your neighbor. It hurts God. You don't steal because it hurts your neighbor. So you don't have to say, oh, well, God didn't say I don't have to do X, because that's broken down into those two things. Does it hurt God? Does it hurt your neighbor? Don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Verse 34, give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me to go into the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. Once again, there he's talking about the path of the commandments, not the commandments themselves.
Correct. Correct. Because at the end of the day, keeping the commandments is important, but it's not really the objective. It's a byproduct of the objective.
Mm-hmm.
Right? If we have a right relationship with God, we will keep the commandments because, and he says here, I need help to keep the commandments. I need help because I delight in them.
Mm-hmm.
So I, you know what I'm saying? Like, I want to do this, and I need your help to keep me in the right path to do it.
All right. Verse 36, incline my heart unto thy testimonies and not to covetousness.
Isn't that interesting?
Hmm.
He made them a contrast.
Your testimonies and not covetousness.
Okay. If I'm constantly seeking wealth, I'm not going to be seeking your word.
Yeah, I understand that mindset completely. You don't have time for God when you're seeking to enrich yourself. You really don't.
It's an awesome verse.
Mm-hmm. Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken thou me in thy way.
quicken, we should understand that quicken is to make alive, to give life. Right? So, again, eyes beholding vanity or foolishness, worthlessness, it leads to death.
Understood.
That's what's being said here.
Right. Verse 38, establish thy word unto thy servant who is devoted to thy fear. Turn away my reproach, which I fear, for thy judgments are good. My reproach, which I fear? Turn away my reproach, which I fear, for thy judgments are good.
The word reproach here, let's look at the concordance of this one. And reproach is disgrace, rebuke.
Ah, okay. And that's why the judgment is, okay, I get it. Because even when you're judged, it's for your good, and so you don't have to worry about your disgrace. Okay. I think I get it. Behold, I have longed after thy precepts. Quicken me in thy righteousness.
And again, if you look at that, it's also turning away the reproach means you have to move away from sinning, right? Because that will bring reproach. So we have to be forgiven and restored. And he's saying, listen, when I make mistakes, it's not that he's saying I'm afraid of the consequences, right? He's not complaining simply about consequences. He does not want to do the things that would lead to separation.
Right.
Right. He's not just saying, oh, yes, I know I messed up, but this is hard, right? He's not doing the Cain thing. My punishment is more than I can bear.
Right. Mm-hmm. He's saying, help me to accept thy punishments because they're for my good. Verse 41. Let thy mercies come also unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation according to thy word. So shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproacheth me, for I trust in thy word. Verse 43, and take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hoped in thy judgments. So shall I keep thy law continually forever and ever.
Absolutely.
And I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. Now,
right, so now he's equating obedience with freedom.
Right, okay. But is so? Here's the thing about obedience, and this is something that's really the crux of Christianity versus just living your life. How is obedience freedom? We are so taught to be independent and to make up your mind and to do your own thing and become your own person, and we eschew obedience up until, you know, the law requires it, and then it requires it brutally. So how is obedience freedom?
Well, think about it this way. If you are a law-abiding citizen, and I mean in every aspect, no speeding, no stealing, no assault and battery.
I'm offended that you started with speeding, but keep going.
But if all of those things, if you are in agreement with the law on account of all of those things, you have no reason to expect that your liberties will be infringed upon. You have no reason to expect that someone will apprehend you or prevent you from doing anything, right? Because as long as you stay within the bounds, you will be free to go and come and do what you need to do. Liberty, law, obedience is freedom because in obedience, you are allowed, you get the opportunity to choose to be in harmony with the authority, whichever scope of authority we're discussing. And within that scope, you're free to do whatever you want, right? It's the same as Adam and Eve. Of all these, you may freely eat. They could make any choice they wanted except the tree in the midst of the garden. And when they made that decision, they got thrown out of the garden. They no longer had the freedom to be in the garden. So they exercised freedom one time, right? They exercised absolute freedom one time, disregarding the rules. And they were then permanently prohibited from 100% freedom. Mm.
That's a brutal thing.
It is. And it's even psychological. I mean, think about it this way. When you're not doing what you're not supposed to do, when you hear a siren, you look up to see where do I need to pull over to let this car pass, as opposed to the glance at the speedometer to understand if it might be you, right? It's if you put yourself in a position where you're not entirely innocent, then you have a certain amount of anxiety that you don't need to have.
Okay. All right. And we are at...
What is it?
I will speak of thy testimonies also before kings, and will not be ashamed. And I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved.
A lot of loving of the commandments in this part of the...
And verse 48, where these two sections end, my hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments, which I have loved, and I will meditate in thy statutes. And I will meditate in thy statutes. So he's all about loving the word, loving the commandments.
Yeah, it gives him freedom. It gives him access to God, a closeness in a relationship. There are no negatives. It keeps him out of trouble. It keeps him from being ashamed and from being reproached. It gives him wisdom. It allows him to be able to answer people that have questions. It puts him before kings, where he can then give testimony.
Yeah, and his love gives him the freedom he's looking for.
Yeah.
So, this is David writing. And David is this before or after he did his major sin? This is before. I believe this is before.
Yeah, I don't know if I'll have to look at that. I don't know offhand if Psalm 119 was written before or after.
Okay. Well, it doesn't have the same, I mean, it can still be written after, but it may not have been written so closely after. So it doesn't have the same repentance. This is more about a love.
Right. Psalm 51 is clearly the psalm that is written immediately after Nathan confronts him about the Bathsheba thing.
Right.
But there's no indication that he stopped writing psalms after that. So.
No, yes. He wrote more. Is there anything else that we can cover with these two sections?
You know, it's important for us to recognize that David is emphasizing here that the law is something that he loves. It's something that he doesn't feel constrained by. It's something that is not burdensome. It's something that gives him freedom, that opens doors for him, that allows him to walk on the high places of the earth, right? If we look at it as burdensome and oppressive, then it's going to create problems.
Right. All right. Thank you. Why don't you go ahead and pray us out?
Sure thing. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that we have the privilege of being able to read these. We thank you for the inspiration that you gave to the various writers of your word, those people who you blessed with visions and dreams and inspiration on a different level so they could see, hear, understand, and attempt to capture all that you impressed upon them. We are grateful for the promises that are found there, for the songs, for the psalms, the poems. We are grateful for the wisdom, and we ask you to help us that we will cherish it, that we will be able to say like David, that we love your commandments, that we love your law, that we meditate on your statutes. Please bless us, bless all those that are hearing us, and Lord, help us to be ready for your soon return. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. We thank you for joining us on this podcast. If you have questions about Psalm 119 or anything else we've covered, we have over 150 episodes that have already been put on the air, put on the web from this podcast. You can get them at truewisdom.buzzsprout.com. You can also get them on our webpage in truewisdom.info. And Andrew also has a podcast where you can get more information on these and other subjects. And his webpage is?
BibleStudy.ASBZone.com. And that's the Rightly Divide the Word of Truth podcast. And we talk about many of the same things here, stories, psalms, proverbs, lesson study, just Bible study in many different ways. And so we encourage you in your journey of studying the scriptures and learning these precious promises for yourself.
You can also email us at info@truewisdom.info or reach out to us on Twitter @truewisdom_pod.
Hey, guess what?
You didn't pray.
Oh, no. I prayed. I prayed to close.
Okay,
no.
What did I miss?
We didn't say our
theme verse. Yes. I ran right through it.
Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Proverbs 9:9-10. It was the question and the way that I had to get in to get the answer, totally. I went all over the place. And then just as we're ending, I remembered what we had said before, is that God is never going to let us forget to do that word.
Yeah, perfect. Well, we got it in right before the end. We thank you for listening, and we do pray that you will be blessed.